Worship him. After the birth of Christ, you see wise men coming into Jerusalem. And wise men are magos, is what they're called in the Greek, or they're actually referred to as oriental scientists. They're from Asia. So that's why I think the pointy shoes matter. It tells us kind of the area they were from. And they just kind of, most of the, if you look, they had a little bit of a slant of their eyes. I'm not sure which part of Asia they're from, but you could see that in there, maybe in the little statuesque. We've Americanized the wise men so much, we don't know what they look like. We've called the guy Balthazar, but really, we don't know his name, right? So many times you'll hear to these guys as the three wise men. We three kings of Orient are bearing it. Remember that song we said? I think we sang it last week, right? Anyways, the wise men were a group of astronomers or oriental magicians or magic guys. They were from the Mesopotamia area, which is the fertile area of that area of the world. And they approached Herod and asked him for information about the king of the Jews. Now, first of all, when you approach a king and you say, look, I'm looking for the king, the first thing they're going to say, well, you got him. And secondly, they're going to be mad if you don't refer to them as king. So if you see that what's happening is they say, what about this guy that we hear is the king of the Jews? There's another misconception that the timeline of this meant they did not find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. We hear about the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, but when the Magi found him, he was probably not in swaddling clothes because those are birth garments, right? So look at verse 9, chapter 2. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and they saw the star that in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down to worship him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another way. They split somewhere else, is what happened. And so when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. He says, get up, take the child. Can you imagine Joseph? You know, he gets a phone call every now and then from the angels. He's getting another one. He says, take the child and his mother, escape to Egypt, stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him. So he got up, he took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. It was fulfilled, and the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. And so then in verse 16, there's, so if you look at the timeline of what's happening here, how many of you know how long he spent in Egypt? Does anybody know that off the top of your head? Really? I didn't know till last week, I'm just telling you. About 2 years he went. He went until, he was like, because they found him at 2 years old. But the timeline all lines up to about 2 years he was in Egypt. And then he came back. But it says in verse 16, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Jerusalem in the vicinity who were 2 years old and under. So at 2 years old and under, when he had heard about Jesus, Jesus was already two. Or right about two. So you know this had already been happening. So this is a long time. And think about the commitment that these guys had. They actually spent 2 years looking for the Magi. Or for the baby, right? They spent 2 years on the road. So, and according to, he had learned, okay, for, then, blah, 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 yada, yada. Okay, Magi 17. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled, and a voice in Ramah weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted, talking about Rachel losing her child because of the age bracket that they were killing babies. So transition for a moment, if you would, to verse 3 of chapter 2. It says, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Watch this movie. I was watching, previewing a movie for the library called Killing Jesus. They have Kelsey Grammer playing King Herod, and he's a nut job. He does a really good job at portraying Herod as a nut job. And anybody that orders the death of babies has got to be a nut job anyways, right? So when he had called together all the people, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and asked them where Christ was to be born, in Bethlehem of Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet was written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go make careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me that I too may go and worship him. Lie? He lied. He's not going to go worship him. All right? He says, hey, King Herod was troubled. He was disturbed. I have a feeling that he wasn't in any kind of shape to go worship Jesus. Right? And so he sent these scribes, or he called the chief priests and the scribes together to ask about the question. He questioned the birthplace of the Messiah. And he was told, born in Bethlehem. How do they know this? How do they know where Jesus was going to be born? Does anybody? I'm down on the floor, so we can talk a little bit today. The star led him. Well, that's true, but how do they know it was going to be in Bethlehem? Because it was before the star got there. What? It was a prophecy. There was a prophecy in Scripture. It says the word of God in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, I don't even understand though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, this is the King James Version, that to be a ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting, out of Bethlehem shall come. Right? This is, it's interesting that the Jewish leaders, by the way, who's supposed to know Scripture, couldn't figure that out. And when they did figure it out, they decided that it wasn't really the King of the Jews. They had all this stuff leading up to it. It's amazing. I imagine it's going to be for some of us who've been in church all of our lives. And maybe you've been in church all your lives. You never really accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then when Christ comes, we're going to be gone. Christians are going to be gone, or you could be left. You're going to say, well, what happened? Well, you mean Scripture's true? Scripture, this is what's happening. Scripture was being fulfilled, right? We'll go back to Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. When they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star had been in the east, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed, right? On coming to the house, they saw the child. And you'll say, they didn't come to the manger. They came to his house. Coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him, and they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they went a different way, right? God leads them directly to the home of Jesus. Way before GPS was even created, God had this form of GPS. And so they followed this star, and then they fell down before him, offered him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we're going to look at those gifts in just a little bit. But God warns them about Herod's plan to destroy Jesus. And as a result, they go somewhere else. Verse 19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph. Again, Joseph getting a call from an angel, right? He says, get up, take the child, his mother, and go out of the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he tells him that Herod's dead. So he's been dead. He died somewhere between the second and the fourth year of Jesus' life, somewhere in that time, okay? And so he went up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, where he lived in a little town called Nazareth. So fulfilled, or thus fulfilled, the prophecy. He will be called what? A Nazarene. So we're seeing fulfilled prophecy all the way along. And it was amazing that I don't know how much Joseph was a scholar. I think he was a working man, so he probably wasn't that deep of a scholar. But yet he played into God's prophecy all the way along. And sometimes I wish we could just, as followers of God, shut our minds off enough, quit thinking about it, and just do what God tells us to do. We'll find ourselves in the middle of what God prophesied. That he loves us, he's got a plan for us, all those things if we just let him do those things. Okay? We can learn a lot from wise men. Number one, the wise men show us how to recognize the Lord. There are many people who do not recognize God. They see all this work that he's done all around them, and they try to give credit to everybody but God. People say, global warming, they got El Nino, La Nina, this and that and the other. Listen, all this stuff that God has done, he's done before. It's something that God creates, and he'll be the author of it. People who said this would be the driest year we've ever had, wow, It's not. Why? Because we're not in charge. We think we are sometimes. And we have people that, oh, they thank Mother Nature. Remember the old commercial? It's not nice to fool Mother Nature. And then she had like all the bunnies and the deer. You don't remember. I should really preach two sermons, one to this age group, and then one to those of us who know what it's like to grow up in a TV household. Okay? So it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. The object was that she was in control, right? And that's what we actually have schools today that teach that. There's a Waldorf school that we used to have at our church. They taught Mother Nature, fairies, and Siths. All those Siths or Siths, I can't pronounce it. What are they? Oh, you don't know? Okay. Well, she knows about that. Wow. Okay. Maybe we should talk after this. Oh, no, Sith. Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay, different Star Wars. Okay, so anyway, wow, talk about chasing a rabbit. All right, so he describes this lost man, right? Listen, you've got mankind, Mother Nature, angels, everything we put creation on except God. You know, we don't give God credit for the things he's done. And they were blessed to watch the Savior grow up as a child. So they were coming and recognizing God. They were looking at the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And notice how the wise men recognized the Lord. First of all, they opened their eyes. What did they do? And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east, they had to look. And here's what's so funny. If you think about it this way, the star in the east led them to Jesus. And there were so many other thousands of people that never looked up. Is that amazing to you? They never noticed the star in the east. They never noticed those things. How many things happen in our lifetime that no one else sees God because we don't bring their focus to the Lord? We get a raise or a promotion at work, and we pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, what a good job I've done. Instead of saying, wow, look what God's done in my life. You know, all those things. We need to turn our eyes toward Jesus Christ. So they open their eyes. And it stood over where the child was, and when they saw it, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. He says, where is he that has been born king of the Jews? We've seen a star in the east. Again, they've seen his star in the east, and we come to worship him. So listen, you have to open your eyes. If you want to see Jesus Christ in creation today, you've got to open your eyes. You've got to look. You know, you have to have eyes of faith. You have to have eyes, the ability to see Christ in things. And you say, Dan, how can I see Christ when things are so bad? Listen, it's going to get worse before it gets better. I just know this. And I'm not a Debbie Downer. I'm not. And I'm not a glasses half empty kind of guy. But I will say to you that the Bible says that it's getting worse and worse and worse. And then one day, God's going to say, come on, let's go. Okay? You have to open your eyes to see what God is doing. And sometimes it takes destruction to see what God is doing in our lives. And you've seen it over and over in the people in our lives that hit rock bottom. And then there's no place else to turn but where? Up. And they see Jesus Christ. So, open your eyes. So not only did they open their eyes, they also had to open their heart. There you go. And they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. You know? They didn't open their eyes only. They opened up their heart to Jesus Christ, and suddenly they saw the star. But when they saw Jesus Christ, they fell. They were emotionally overtaken. And these men opened up their hearts to what God was trying to show them. Many of us see God at work today, and we don't even recognize that it's God. Some people just don't care, you know, and it's God who does the work in us, not somebody else, not us. We just don't care. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? There are some people who just don't care. They say, well, I'll deal with that when I come to it. It might come sooner than you think. They refuse to open their hearts. You have to open your eyes, open your hearts, and then finally, or see, they open their treasures. And when they open their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now listen, I am not a scholar, I am not a theologian, but what I see in this verse is they came prepared to give something to Jesus. They came prepared, they offered him gifts. How did they offer him gifts after traveling for 2 years? Well, because they brought the gifts with them. They were ready to give those gifts when they got there. They were prepared to meet the king, and they found Jesus because they followed the direction God gave them. How many times do we come to church not prepared to give our lives to Jesus Christ? How many times do we come to church and we just come to church because that's what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to be here. And back in the day when Sunday school happened, so many people would come to church because that's what they had to do. They had to come to Sunday school. So we try to do things different now. We try to do home groups so people are more comfortable coming. But they would come in at 9:30 in the morning, going to Sunday school. What did somebody call it? The captive class? Remember that? Sometimes we're forced to go by our parents. They make us go to church. And so when we turn 18, we go all hog wild and we skip Sunday school or skip church altogether. I went to Cal Baptist for 4 years. No, actually, I think it took 5 years to get a four-year degree. I'm not real sure. Anyways, Sunday morning, 50% of the students were still in the dorm. Not me. I just want you to know, well, I wasn't one of them. But 50%, where were they, hon? Sleeping in bed, sleeping in. Because they'd been made to go to church all their lives. They went to a Christian school. They came to a Christian university and said, I ain't going to Sunday school. Are you kidding me? I've been made to go to Sunday school all my life. Listen, you got to come prepared to give. In order to do that, you got to leave. You got to bring it all. You know, bring it all. Here's the deal. What if Jesus said to you today, I want you to, after church today, I want you to go and spend a week in Mexico. How many of you are prepared to do that right now? Some of us would take a day maybe, right, to get ready. But we're not really prepared to follow Jesus. He might be telling you to do something really radical today, but you're not ready to hear it because you got plans, whatever those are. Can we turn this down a little bit? I think I'm spitting too much. I don't know. So they were prepared to meet the king. So if we're to make it to where Jesus is, and we want to see Jesus, we got to be prepared when we see him. What were to happen? You know, we're preparing every day for the second coming of Christ. What actually happens if he stood before us this morning? Would you say, oh, I wore the wrong shoes. Oh, I didn't wear my tie today. I'm sorry, I wasn't prepared. I didn't know you were coming. He said, that's the point. You always be ready. Always be ready. So we have to present him with a treasure of love, a treasure of honor. Present him with our obedience. Present him with our devotion and sacrifice and service. So you got to open, before you can open any kind of treasure that God has for you, you have to give him what is his. You have to give him your eyes. You have to give him your heart. You have to commit everything to him. And when you do that, then you're ready to receive. Because I guarantee you, God, you can't handle what God's going to give you if your hands are full of what you want. You got to put it down. Give it all to Jesus. Then you say, you know, what do I need, Lord? Here, give it to me. Your hands are totally free to accept it. But we're not ready, right? So they show us now how to recognize the Lord. They also show us how to reverence the Lord or to show reverence to the Lord. I tried to make this make sense, but we need to be giving reverence to God. The second half of verse 11 says, when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. See, this is a picture of humbleness where they fell before him and worshiped him. Have you ever just felt like laying flat on the ground and just asking God to cover you with his spirit? They call that prostrate. Man, I need more sleep. Prostrate before God. Just lay down. Sorry. I'm trying to get out here early so I can go over the mountain before the snow hits. Maybe I need to give it all to Jesus this morning, right? So we just lay there in humbleness and say, God, cover me with your spirit. In order to do that, to lay prostrate before God, you have to put your arms out and let go of what you got a hold of, right? And then God will fill you. James 4:6, he says, God gives more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud. This is King James Version. The proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What does that mean for us? Humble yourself before God. Oh, wait, that's another verse, James 4:10. Humble yourselves within the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Right? If you humble yourself before God, he's going to lift you up. And Psalm 10:17 says, the Lord has heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare the heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. If you are ready and you're humble to hear what God has to say, you'll hear it. How many of you have tried to talk to somebody that's in high school or under and they have earphones in their ear? Anybody have that experience at their house? I think I've had that experience a couple of times. What happens is you say, hey, I won't use their name, but you, and they're just, you guess who it is. Like, hey, you, Becca, Dylan, Daniel, Trevor, whoever, they're all the same, they're all kids the same. Hey, I need your attention for just a moment. Oh, did you say something, Dad? Yeah, I did. Come here. Are you talking to me? You ever said like a, you get so wrapped up in your world that God says, hey, Daniel, hey, wake up. I said, dude, I'm listening. He said, no, you weren't. You're watching TV. You weren't listening. You had headphones in your ear. You got everything else going on in your life. You're not listening to me. God is saying, listen to me. And I'll be glad to share with you what's going on. What is going on here? A man's pride is, oh, here it is, Proverbs 16:19. It better to be a humble spirit than and lowly than to divide the spoil of the proud. Listen, it's better to be humble and allow God to bless you than to go in there and get something that was taken from with pride. If you have less pride in your life, God can bless you. Right? And in Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. They humbly bowed before God, offering these gifts that Jesus was worthy of receiving. And there's significance in the gifts they gave. They gave him gold, which is a very valuable thing to represent his kingness, right? They gave him frankincense, right, which represents his humanity. Because frankincense is what makes us, it's a very expensive perfumey thing that makes us smell good and you can smell like royalty, right? And then they gave him myrrh, which is also kind of a flowery, it's a bush derivative, but it was used to embalm people. And embalming was done for royalty, it wasn't done for the average man. So they had gifts that were meant for royalty. I can't imagine as a mother or a father watching some guy come into my house and bring embalming fluid to my son. Here you go. Here's some embalming fluid. I'd be like, do you know something I don't know? You know, they didn't know the timing of everything. They just knew it was going to happen, right? So here she's got this jar of myrrh sitting on the shelf for another 28 years, reminding her every day that her son is going to die for somebody. Right? They gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were all expensive gifts. They were costly gifts. But they were willing to give them to Jesus. And it's how they gave them. They fell before Jesus and presented him gifts. It was an act of faith. They showed reverence for the Lord. So these men have showed us how to recognize the Lord, how to reverence the Lord, and finally, how to rely on the Lord. We're going to see that right now. It's believed that these men followed the star for about 2 years, right? Just imagine the faith they had in Jesus Christ to commit to 2 years, right? I'm awestruck when I think about how long of a journey would that be? 2 years. And they relied on the Lord. That's exactly what we have to do. Sometimes we get stuck in a journey and we get 6 months into the journey and we say, God, what are we doing here? You know, we've been meeting in this building since last March, right? It's almost been a year. God, what are we doing here? How much more are we going to put up with it? Are we going to get, we have all these chairs. We did it. Everything we're supposed to do. How are we going to fill these chairs? And God says, don't worry about it. I'll fill the chairs. You just do your job, Dan. You follow me and we'll send what exactly you need. And that's what I think, if I learn anything from the wise men, I learn to be fully reliant on Jesus Christ. And these guys left, I mean, they were pretty well off people. They left their richness to go do this. They relied on God. You know, that heavenly GPS system. And we don't know necessarily what we're going to encounter at the end of the destination. One of my biggest fears as a pastor helping start a church is that I get it and I help grow the church, and then God says, you need to move. Well, I just want to enjoy it. No, God says, no, you got to move. I swear, if up to me, I would never move. I hate moving. And if it were up to me, I would love to be in one place forever. But I know that's not possible. I know that maybe God's got me going somewhere. I don't know. This isn't like that kind of message. I'm not talking about that. But I just don't know. I have to be ready. Are you ready? 2 years ago when we talked about moving, I even said at a meeting, I said, maybe I'm not the guy. You remember that conversation? Maybe I'm not. I have to be ready to do whatever. Are you wise enough to see that you have to rely on God? You know, nothing I do is because I do it of my own volition. And if I did, chances are it's going to fail. We don't know how long the journey's going to be. We don't know what we're going to encounter along the way. We don't know exactly what we encounter. We had plans to open we were going to be open last Christmas. Did we? No. City had a different plan. We had to deal with the city. And I guarantee you, those guys aren't exactly a bunch of Christians down there. Or they might be, but they just don't care anymore. I don't know. It was tough. If you work for the city or know the city, I'm sorry about that. I'm not trying to insult anybody. I've dealt with them, right? So we have to rely on God. And how do we rely on God? We have fear. How many of us fear God? We have to have fear and be warned of God. It says in 12, the first half, in being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. Listen, God will give you a fear. And we call it discernment. You know what I mean? We call it discernment. You know, God will say, Dan, I wouldn't do that if I were you. You ever have that feeling in your gut that this just isn't right? Something's not right. And you just say, I'm not going to do that. And God gives us that. God warns them not to return to Herod. These men feared God and obeyed and did not go back to Herod, right? We were told that we should fear God. Or when they were told that they should fear God, it means that we're to show reverence to him, be fearful. When we say fear God, we have a reverence for God that gives us a healthy fear. You know what the healthy fear of God is? Remember the guy, the dad that used to say, okay, it's time for a switch. Right? Those of us who are older know what a switch was. I want you to go to the wood pile and I want you to pick it out. Right? You knew that something was coming. And he wasn't asking you to go out and pick firewood either. He was going out there to pick a piece of wood that was going to cause a fire on your booty, right? And so this is what was happening. And so we know that we didn't hate our dad for it. We knew it was coming. We have the healthy fear of our God. And so we have the same healthy fear of God that we had kind of for our dad. You know, like when dad looks at you in the middle of service and does this. Same kind of thing. God looks at you. How many times does he look at you and go, what are you doing? You know better than that. You know? We have to have this healthy fear of God. When you fear God, you're going to follow God. We have to follow God. That's B. We have to follow God. They departed to their own country another way. They had no longer a star. They just were going back home. They decided to go home another way. They listened and obeyed. They went another way. You have to trust him. When you have doubts, trust in God. Okay? When your strength is small, trust in God. When you have little strength and you're weak, trust in God. We say it's simple to trust in God, and sometimes it is simple. And people say, oh, just trust the Lord. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I'm having a hard time. Just trust the Lord. He'll provide. Yeah, right? That's the hardest thing to do. It's difficult. He's faithful. He will do his best for you. He's like a dad. He's like the best dad in the world. He wants the best for you. He doesn't want you to have a Dollar Tree kind of life, you know? He wants the best for you. And he paid the very best price for you. He paid big money for you. He paid what we would consider the most valuable thing in our lives, his child. Trust him. He's faithful. Trust his will. It's the best will that you could ever follow. It's the heart of Jesus. It's the only place you'll find rest, truly, is in the arms of Jesus. So this morning, we recognize the Lord. We have reverence for the Lord, and we rely on the Lord. We say we have trust. Do you have trust? Have you trusted him today? We're going to sing a song as we close the service out today. I just want you to think about this, okay? And you can listen. Is it an invitation or are we going to? All right. If you guys want to pray, come on up here and we'll pray together. But I got to get my glasses out to see it. You got that. Do you guys know this song? Is it? I'd rather have Jesus. You remember that? I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Let's sing that one.